Welcome to Empowered Birth, Love, and Life. I am your host, Emmy Robin. I am a certified birth and postpartum doula, childbirth educator, and breastfeeding counselor. And I hope that by listening to this podcast that you feel empowered going forward in your journey with your upcoming birth, your relationship, or life as a new parent. So let's get started. Hey, y'all. What's up? Oh my gosh. Okay, so I have a really cool episode coming up next week. I'm so excited. I wanted to release it this week, but he is getting a lot of website stuff in order. So I want to have everything up and running for him when he is ready to release it. So Sunday, May 19th, I am so excited. And if you're listening to this after that, then go listen to the episode after this. Listen to the episode before this. I mean, Audrey Ross, A Joyful Birth. I mean, she's incredible. And really, I'm so excited to have this platform to be able to just come on here and chat and talk. And this episode will be relatively short. I just, you know, I kind of wanted to catch everybody up and what's going on in my personal life. Cause I feel like, I don't know, feel like you guys kind of know me. I know you ish. We're buddies at this point. But yeah, I have a film coming out. I'm an actress also on top of the work that I do with the pregnant women and the babies. I have been an actress for quite some time, a little over 20 years, as long as I have been doing healing work as well. So yeah, I'm really excited about this project. It's very, it goes really well with my, you know, personal endeavors and my business and all of that jazz. And it talks about the schmaxines, you know, the childhood schmaxines. And in particular, the MMR and just safety and efficacy. And Dr. Andrew Wakefield is just one of my heroes. He really is incredible. He's one of the first original whistleblower doctors. He is very big on protecting children, and he does what he does now, not for profit, not to make money. You know, he lost his license as a doctor. He was one of the first people to be silenced, to be canceled, to be stripped of his entire life's work due to the powers that be not wanting him to say what he was saying. And he just couldn't keep quiet anymore. You know, he just had too many people from all these agencies, FDA, CDC, Merck Labs, coming to him and whistleblowing. And he was just the go-to. He was the person. And it's like, when you are just getting dumped on like that, like, hey, I mean, you know, I have this for you and I have this for you. It's like, you can't stay quiet. When you see the fraud and the stuff that's going on behind the scenes, it's, you just cannot stay quiet. And so he's had this story for decades. And he got together with Terry Rossio, who wrote Pirates of the Caribbean, Aladdin, Shrek, incredible writer in Hollywood, and very brave to get together with Dr. Wakefield and be a part of this project. So thank you, Terry. But yeah, I'm so excited as an actress just to be a part of this film, but just as an advocate for children and body autonomy and medical freedom and informed medical consent and all of these things. Dr. Wakefield, you know, I've been aware of his work for a really long time. Thankfully, thank God I knew of all of this stuff long ago. And yeah, it's this feature is for everyone. It is not just for the people who are pro schmaxines or anti schmaxines or, it's for everybody. It's a really beautiful story. You should absolutely go see it. It's, you know, in the vein of Erin Brockovich. It's a feel good, stick it to the man kind of film, you know? And so it makes you feel really good. And yeah, you really, really root for the main characters to prevail. And you have to go see the film to see if they do. But yeah, it's called Protocol 7, and you can visit the website. I'll also have it in the body of this episode, and it is protocol7.movie. And we're really trying to get, if you hear this, and it is May 12th when it releases, or even May 19th, we're trying to get people's screenings going before it releases nationwide on May 31st, 2024. Yeah, and I'll be interested to see how this podcast episode ages, you know, in 4 or 5 months from now. My hope is that all the love and the light and the protection from God and the universe around this film and the message and the awakening that's happening in the masses around the world, that our film is loved and protected and guided and taken care of and just, yeah, seen. Really just seen. All you have to do is just see it. Just see it with an open heart and an open mind. You know what I mean? Like, just give it a chance. It's a really beautiful story, and it is based on true events. So it might confirm your values, and it might change your values, and it might protect your future baby or your current baby or your sister's baby or your neighbor's baby or your best, you know. So that's my hope, is that people just go see this film with an open heart, open mind. I'm just so, I feel so good and so aligned being a part of this project. People have asked me, like, well, aren't you afraid that, you know, it might hurt your acting career being associate? I'm like, Have you not seen that I am not really caring too much about the Hollywood industry currently? becoming a mother and finding this passion of educating and empowering and just helping couples navigate this thing called parenthood and pregnancy and birth and postpartum and breastfeeding and all of that. That is a passion, a fire inside of me that I don't think nobody can put that out. You know, I will continue doing what I'm doing, empowering people. And again, I'm not anti-medical establishment. I love the fact that we have Western medicine for when it's needed. And these doctors are really good people, and they get into the profession with really good intentions. And I just feel like these big corporations, these big hospitals and pharmaceutical companies and all of that, you know, they just set these guidelines, these protocols, and a lot of these really good doctors have their hands tied. And so my hope is that it's changing, that everything is changing, and that, you know, the awakening and people just coming to love and light and natural, what God gave us, like trusting our bodies, our immune systems, our ability to do things homeopathically and naturally, and use Western medication when we need to, and use surgery when we need to, because these things are needed, right? But these mandates, these, you know, when you're a mother or a father and you have a child, it's a lot of people, and I love, you know, the film, when you go see it, will raise this, you know, bring it to the attention of people that aren't aware. But what are your state's mandates and regulations for schmaxines in school, letting your child go to school? I know in the state of Texas and in the state of Arkansas and in a lot of places, you can get medical, religious, and, you know, personal exemptions if you don't want to comply to these mandates that are not, you're not protected. If something happens because of a schmaxine, you cannot sue anybody. There are protections around the drug companies that you cannot sue against any of that. you know? And that to me is a whoa red flag. You know what I mean? Like, if I go into a restaurant and eat something and get food poisoning, even if they don't see it, I could go in the next day and be like, look, your chicken gave me food poisoning. They're going to do something. They're going to be like, oh my gosh, I'm so, can we A, give you your money back for your meal? And B, here is a $100 gift card. And we would love to, you know, they're going to do something because their business is on the line, right? But it's very transparent with these big companies. You could go to Veyers, but how many cases are reported? How many cases are truly reported? They say about 10%. And even just 10%, at the end of the film, I want everybody to stick around. If you go see this film, the end of the film, during the rolling credits, after the credits, I want you to look at these charts that Andy and his team share. And that is, I mean, 10%. And it's still insane. These poor injured babies and children. And these companies are not held liable. It is all for corporate profit and gain. And the safety, the efficacy, it's all in the film you're going to see. You're going to see what happened. And it's just a powerful story. And this is only on one. This is only on the MMR. That's it. So if that's one of however many are in your schedule, I mean, 70 something shots, right? It just raises the question, right? So I just want people to really just start tapping and tuning into their intuition. Does this feel right? Do I want to do this? Or am I being pressured to do this? Right? If you choose to do this, that's your choice, right? But what information is making you choose to do this, right? Is it fear? Are you making decisions based upon fear? Because we talk about this all the time in my podcast. You never, ever, ever, ever in life make a decision based upon fear. I told my husband that too, when it comes to like spending money or anything like that. Like if we, you know, decide to buy land or whatever, it's like, I don't want to make the decision based upon the fact that like, I'm afraid to do this because, you know, we won't have a savings or we're eating into our nest egg. Like, no, we're not making decisions based upon fear. Because when you do that, all you do is you're creating a space for that fear to invade. And this goes with pregnancy, this goes with conception, this goes with birth, this goes with breastfeeding, this goes with everything. We need to just release the fear and trust. Love, light, God, universe, all of it, just trust. Trust that we are created perfect. Perfect. We create nature's vaccines in our breasts. I don't know. I could go off on a whole breastfeeding thing. It's so funny. I'm at 40 episodes and I have not even done one single breastfeeding episode. And that is because there is so much. I'm looking at my IBCLC, my SERPs for that. I'm looking at my advanced lactation hours, my 90 advanced lactation hours, my 40 certified breastfeeding counselor. I mean, there's so many hours of education that I took on breastfeeding that I condensed it into a 2-hour breastfeeding course on my website. I released it to the public for free during the formula shortage because in 2021, because I just, like Andy, just ached and hurt for all of these babies and these children that needed help. They needed their mothers to succeed, because otherwise they were going to starve. And I didn't want that to happen. And so my breastfeeding course is 100% free. It is jam-packed with evidence education, evidence-based education. It is jam-packed with amazing facts about breastfeeding and the benefit of your child's immune system and building that gut biome. And we all know that the importance of the health of our gut is where our immune system is. The stronger our immune system is, the better we can fight off virus, the better we can fight disease, you know, and then just, I mean, I'm going to get into an episode with, you know, dysregulation of the body and where it starts and 0 to 3 and co-sleeping and all of that, you know, but also regulating the nervous system, you know, that makes us more susceptible to dis-ease when our nervous system is dysregulated, especially as a baby, a toddler, a child, a teen, an adult, all of this, right? So back to the film. Basically, you know, it's not anti-vax at all. And people are saying that I don't want to go see that anti-vax film. This is not an anti-vax film. This is just exposing something that you would never even know about. You would never know that there was fraud that happened on this level behind this particular vaccine that was released. And I love that it's back in litigation and that they're able to talk about it and they're able to go through with this film. Because, you know, Andy is just one of many people out there that are just trying to get the information out. He's not telling you with this story, don't do this and don't do that. It's not an anti-anything. It's really just an eye-opening exposure to safety and efficacy of a product that was put onto the market and how it actually got there, right? So yeah, I really, really, really highly encourage you guys to go see this film. Again, it's Protocol 7, the number, Protocol, P-R-O-T-O-C-O-L. For those of you who can't spell very well like myself, I am horrible in English. 7, the number, .movie. And if you're listening to this before May 29th or even after May 29th, maybe you can host a screening after that. But yeah, it's all through Gather, and you can also go to the website and pre-order the film. It will be released in, like I said, theatrically nationwide in US and Canada. And hopefully some of these theaters will pick up the film and you will be able to go see it, and that we don't get too much pushback. And then, worldwide, you'll be able to go to protocol7.movie and you will be able to purchase the film in a downloadable version. And I think they are also selling actual DVDs. A lot of people like to have things in DVD. I completely understand that because you never know when things get erased from the internet. You know, there was a time where I was like, man, where can I send people to see The Business of Being Born? Because it used to be on Netflix and then it was on Amazon and then it was on iTunes. It's like, we can't find it anywhere because it was literally just deleted all over. Same with Vaxxed. And so it's just like these films that are really getting messages out there, but they're going against these big corporations, they just get pulled. And so sometimes it's really nice to have that physical copy DVD, you know, plug it into your DVD player and or Xbox player, however you watch your DVDs. And yeah, just sit down and show people this film that need to see this film, or pass it on. Like, hey, sister, I know you're about to have a kid. Can you just watch this movie with your husband? It's really beautiful. It's a really great story. And maybe you'll make a different decision. Maybe you won't. Maybe you'll just enjoy a really great cinematic feature. But yeah, you can go to protocol7.movie and yeah, just follow them at protocol7movie on Instagram. I will have all the links to all of these below in the body of the episode. But yeah, I wanted to do a quick episode this week just to catch people up. I went on and this is going to go over with half of my audience, and the other half, they're going to be like, oh, she lost me. But again, I live in the vein of I don't care. I am here to empower you, not to conform to your ideals of what I should and shouldn't do. But Alex Jones from InfoWars graciously had Andy Wakefield and myself on, and we had a really beautiful hour and 20-minute segment with him. He gave us a lot of time to talk, and he gave me a beautiful platform to speak upon the birth industry and, you know, what I witness as a doula. I'm so grateful to him for that. So be what it may, what you think of him, I'm so grateful to him and him allowing me to come on his platform and speak. And I think it's the first time he's ever had like vagina said on his show a million times. I think I want to go back and rewatch it, but pretty sure I said the word vagina or vaginal canal, like maybe 5 or 10 times. I don't know. It's like, wow, the InfoWars people are really going to be loving this one because I'm just saying vagina all the time. But yeah, it was really fun. I'm so grateful. And then I also am on the Children's Health Defense TV show that came out yesterday. So I will share that link here. And yeah, I'm just so grateful to Andy and Joey and Brian and just the team at Protocol 7. And I hope to be a part of any of their future projects. I'm so, so passionate about helping people like them because it's very similar to what I do here with birth. And I'm just so passionate about preventing birth trauma and preventing the unnecessary maternal and fetal mortality rate that we have in the United States. You know, it's like they have their lane of going and, you know, exposing all of the fraud behind the safety and efficacy of this vaccine. And I have my lane of, you know, I don't want to spoil anything, but you know, it starts with that Hep B in the hospital. If your baby leaves your side at all in the hospital, they take that baby. You better damn sure send your husband with them because yeah. I think back to when Adeline was born and, you know, if you've listened to my podcast for a while, you know that she was a birth center, transfer, hospital, unnecessary emergency cesarean, yada, yada, right? And break all that down. But, you know, what I don't talk about in her episode is the postpartum. And that's where the stuff really hit the fan. Postpartum from an emergency C-section can be very brutal. And this is where, you know, 90% of, I'm sure, the maternal mortality rate happens. I was almost one of those statistics because the care was, or lack thereof, was just atrocious. Horrible. These nurses were green right out of school. They probably went to school for 9 months. They were just shoving them in and out because nurses, you know, were having the mandates. And so they were short staffed. They needed this, they needed that. My nurse, you know, she just, it was horrible. But I remember, you know, when they were pricking her heel, testing her blood sugar over and over and over and over. I mean, I'm talking like 6-7 times. Because she was over 8 pounds, 8 ounces, which is so ridiculous. I was like, she's not diabetic. Yes, but she's not diabetic. She's past the first three. You guys are done pricking my baby's heel. But of course, in the hospital, like, you get bullied into thinking, like, we're going to call CPS on you if you don't let us do this test. And I remember the birth center, I remember, you know, they prick the heel once and midwives, you know, they do the heel prick. They test for jaundice, they test their blood sugar, all the things. And then they also come back, they do another little heel prick and they can send it off for genetic testing to see if your baby is susceptible to, like, you know, like 40 different genetic disorders further down the line. But they let you breastfeed while they do it. It's like a beautiful thing. So the baby like doesn't even really feel it. You know, it's just kind of like they're getting soothed by the endorphins from your breast milk. And yeah, it's just a beautiful thing. And I remember saying to the nurse, can I just breastfeed while you do it? And she said, absolutely not. And I just looked at her and I was like, why? And she was like, it's just our protocol. So again, it's just our protocol. And I remember she was in the bassinet screaming bloody murder because they pricked her right heel and then they pricked her left heel because they had to get whatever tests they were doing at that point. And they had already pricked her heel like a couple of times before this. So my poor baby got pricked 12 times. I counted it. And this was probably like 6, 7, 8. Like they were just pricking her over and over again. She was screaming bloody murder. And I remember I'm laying there in the bed and I'm bawling my eyes out. I'm screaming, crying. Just I'm obviously like super postpartum. I've been going through hell at the hospital by this point. I've been there for 3 days. And they're making my baby scream in a bassinet next to me. And they're just, the nurse didn't even acknowledge that I was laying in the bed bawling my eyes out at all. So she says, okay, well, we need to do one more test, Mom. I can see that this is obviously upsetting you. I'm going to take her to the nursery and I'm going to get her quieted down and we're going to do one more test. I was in shambles. I was also narked up on Narco and Vicodin, whatever. And I was like, okay. And she was like, and maybe, you know, maybe you just really need some rest, you know, and Dad, maybe you need a little rest too. Or maybe Jeff, I think Jeff went to go shower at that point. I think I was like alone and I think they purposefully waited until I was alone. And they took her to the nursery, I remember, and I slept and then I woke up. It was probably like an hour and a half because she gave me my Narco. You know, she saw I was in distress and I was crying and she wasn't associating it with the fact that I was listening to my baby scream and cry and my nervous system was completely responding. She was just like, here's your medicine. Take a nap. We'll take the baby to the nursery. We'll give her lots of love. Of course, she was being like super fake. And you know, this is the same woman that looked me in the face and said, no, you can't breastfeed while I... And she's sitting there pricking her heel over and over again while she's screaming. How did I have the wherewithal to think that this woman was actually taking my baby to soothe her or that she was even the person to soothe my baby? I'm the baby. I'm the person to soothe my baby. But I digress. Looking back, I learned so much, y'all, so much. And I hope I'm not triggering anybody right now with their own story, but I hope this is helping people advocate. But they took her away to the quote unquote nursery. And I remember when they brought her back, she was exhausted. Like she had been, it was like an energy that was different about her. She had been screaming. I could tell. She looked so defeated. But I had woken up about an hour after taking a nap. Like they wanted me to take a 2-hour nap and they said, we'll bring her back to you to breastfeed or whatever. And I could only sleep for an hour. I pushed the nurse's call button. Hey, can I have my baby back, please? Yep, we'll bring her right to you, Mom. And then 30 minutes went by. Hey, can I have my baby, please? Yep, we'll bring her right to you, Mom. It was 2 hours and 26 minutes. And I remember because I typed it into my phone because I watched the clock from the second that I pushed the call button to have my baby back. And this was 2 hours and 26 minutes after I woke up. So she had been gone for 3 hours and 26 minutes. So I had the pump and I started pumping because I was like, okay, well, if they're not going to bring my baby back. Well, they finally bring my baby back. And like I said, she was exhausted. And so she wasn't breastfeeding. They probably gave her formula while she was in there without my consent. And yeah, when I got my discharge papers a couple days later, I obviously at that point I'd started refusing the Narco and I was very with it and just wanting to get the F out of the hospital. And I'm reviewing the papers and just going through and signing the bottom of the page and she's going over them, the discharge papers with me. And we get to the Hep B page, which I clearly, and I'm talking 4 or 5 times I was asked when I checked into the hospital, before they gave me the epidural and I had to sign a bunch of papers while I was like screaming and in pain. You know, I said, no, I checked no to the hepatitis B. That was the one thing. Hep B, I was a very big no on. Vitamin K was only if she had active bruising when she came out of me. And I clearly checked no. And then I verbally said, no hep B. And I, my husband knew to watch for that. I said, do not let them take her away. If I have a C-section, she's not allowed to go leave your site. He did so good on that. Oh my God, you guys, they were like trying to take her to the nursery right away. And he was like, no, that's okay. I'll take her. And he had her skin to skin for hours until I woke up, but I digress. And so again, no hep B mom. Yep. No hep B. Thank you. And then again, no hep B mom. Yep. No hep B. Thank you. I mean, like four times they asked me before she was born, after she was born, no hep B, just vitamin K, right, mom? Yep. Erythromycin. We're going to do because you were GBS positive. I'm like, yeah, but she just came out of my stomach. So, okay, whatever. So she got the goop in her eyes. She got the vitamin K. And I specifically said, no hep B. Well, when I get my discharge papers, you know, we're about to leave. And the lady's going through them. And I'm flipping through the page. And we get to the hep B. It is checked. Yes. It's checked. Somebody went through and checked, and she wanted me to sign on the bottom line. And I looked at her with daggers in my eyes. And I said, why is it checked? Yes. I said, no. Did she get the hepatitis vaccine? And the nurse looked me dead in the face and she said, oh, honey, no, that's just those papers are, everything's already checked. Yes. She's like, you can scratch it out and check no. And I was like, well, I'm leaving. I'm being discharged. So, I mean, was she vaccinated? They would not tell me yes or no. So my husband and I, have been talking the past few days about getting her records, because if she was vaccinated, and I checked no on the ones going in. It's a whole thing, y'all. They replaced that piece of paper in my discharge. I know for a fact. I did not check yes. And I said, I remember specifically, I checked no. And then I signed the paper at the bottom. So what is this? I've already filled this one out. She goes, oh, no, this is this is for your discharge. You did one for check-in. This is discharge. And I was, this makes no sense. Why is it checked yes? So if this speaks to anybody out there, just know, do not let your baby leave your site for any reason at the hospital. Keep them. If they need to go somewhere, if they need to go there, your husband can more than happy follow them to the nursery or to wherever they need to go. If they got severe jaundice, they need to go under some lights. Guess what? He can sit there and read a book with baby. That is your baby. Or they can bring the light to the room. I still, to this day, don't understand why we can't put a NICU-equipped bassinet in the room next to mama and just have it on monitors in the hall where the nurse can see, because that's exactly what it is in the NICU anyways. And when the beep, 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 beeps go off, that's when they go in there and they go and they check on baby. So it's like, why can the baby not just be in the room? I digress. NICU's a whole other episode, but back to hep B. They touch on this in the movie, and I love that. I love that Andy snuck that in there, because it's happening across our nation and it needs to stop. Okay. Off my high horse, you guys, go see the film Protocol 7. Protocol7.movie. Again, I'm going to have links to all the things that I mention in the body of this podcast. And just remember to trust your body and trust your baby and your baby's body. I love y'all. Until next time.